Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. There's a category of YouTube videos called Instant Karma, and they show, sometimes hilariously, sometimes seriously, what happens when someone does something unkind or unthinking. Revenge happens on the recoil. What about in the realm of religious liberty? Does bad karma ever take place there? Let's ask Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, for insights. Lincoln, what do we need to know?
Well, karma is not used idly here for this program because I want to talk a little bit about India.
Yes.
And karma is a word that pops up all the time there.
Yeah.
India's had an interesting history on religion. It's the land of many religions or many gods, almost an unnumbered amount of them. But monolithically, it's overwhelmingly Hindu with a large Muslim minority and only 2% Christians. And this is the second largest population on Earth, about around a billion Indians. So it's a large part of the world's population, but only 2% of them Christian. And of recent years, religion has been a big dispute and often a violent dispute. Mm-hmm. But as a backdrop, and we have an article in Liberty Magazine on this, so I'm drawing on this a little. But as a backdrop, it's worth remembering that during the Inquisition, Goa, India, was the location of inquisitorial proceedings led by the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. So Christianity sort of dirtied its cage a long time back in India. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's worth remembering that things may be done against Christians now, but it's not on a blank sheet. But there's no question that of late, Christianity is under severe stress in India, a land that has quite a well-thought-out constitution. The Indian constitution, adopted on November 26, 1949, the time of partition, when Pakistan was established and England pulled away, has a section that's in the right of religious freedom that says that they guarantee the right to profess, practice, and propagate one's faith. And then Article 26 says that religious leaders' institutions can manage religious affairs. And people have full liberty, and here's in a quote again, as to payment of taxes for promotion of any particular religion. Not as succinctly and grandly stated as the U.S. Constitution, but the intent was clearly a religious freedom that went beyond a Hindu majority view.
Right.
So it's not a constitutional problem. In fact, I'm looking further, and even Article 29 of their constitution speaks to the protection of interests of minorities. Mm-hmm. And then Article 30 expands on that, and it says that that expands the rights of minorities to establish and administer educational institutions. This is often where things really go awry in schools run by religious groups. And in India already, they have to at least, I think it is, have 40% Hindus registered, say, in Christian medical training institutions. Mm-hmm. You could argue that that helps all groups, a diverse number of people that are being trained. But when you're running a particular institution for a religion, it means that you're forced to open it up.
When an institution wants to proselytize, are they free to do that with the students that have been forced upon them?
No. That's where it's hitting the fan and the bad karma is kicking in. Hindu nationalist groups are more and more attacking Christians and indeed Muslims, but Christians seem to be picked on a little easier because they don't fight back the same and they're a smaller,
right,
more easily dealt with minority. They're attacking them when they try to proselytize and often violent reactions. And on a previous program, I mentioned that in one place, a Seventh-day Adventist pastor was picked upon by a crowd, chased down, dismembered, and then the church burned. So, you know, this can be horrific on occasion. And that particular one was because we had proselytized the untouchables, a Hindu caste minority, who found an escape from their onerous place in society by becoming Christians. No, there's just a continuing round of violence. And the article was written not because this is all new. It's been developing over several decades. But what is somewhat new is that the Hindu nationalist movement has gained power in India, the BJP it's called. They've established the government, and they have said that they want to establish a Hindu state with Christianity removed from India by 2020.
Wow. Okay.
So, you know, on the government level and on the social level, which answers to that, there's really an aggressive push against minorities, against Christianity in particular, an attempt by violence and law to stop proselytization and to eject them. There's even a proposed anti-conversion bill that we don't think has much chance of passing, but the mere presentation of such a bill shows the lay of the land. A few years ago, I was in Sri Lanka, where they had passed an anti-conversion law with a possible death penalty on it. That was supported by the Buddhists there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we know from experience in other countries how dangerous such proposals are.
I always thought, Lincoln, and doing this program has just opened my eyes, that the conflicts of the world were because of national feelings, or because of resources, or because of money. I'm discovering, and you're telling me, that a majority, if not all, of the conflicts of this world have roots deep in someone's faith, or someone's belief, or someone's lack of faith. Am I right in saying that?
Well, you're on the right track. I don't think you can make an easy division between a sense of nation or people and the faith that they share.
Because yeah, that's true. That's
in
true.
Most original societies, it's all wrapped together.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You know, I often invoke this. It's worth remembering. One of the great success stories when you read the story of Christianity, but Clovis, king of the Franks, was baptized a Christian. Instantly, all the Franks were Christians.
Okay, all right. That was some evangelistic meeting he went to. Wow.
It used to be. Well, and even England. Think about it. Here's a modern country. Yeah. The queen, perhaps the king after her, is the head of the Church of England. That's the state religion. To be English is to be Church of England. Not in every case, but that's the intent.
Yeah.
It's all wrapped up in one. Under freedom of religion, we think that people should have the right to make their own mind up about their spiritual inclinations and dedications and so on. And that runs counter to this cultural practice of lumping everyone in together.
Right.
There are some very recalcitrant states. Saudi Arabia equates being a Muslim with being a Saudi. Mm-hmm. And if you change your religion, there's only one penalty. Cut your head off. Yep. You're no longer part of us.
Yep.
That's hard to deal with, and nobody knows the answer to that one yet. But India is a freer country. It's loosely based on English democratic principles, since they kept the bureaucratic norms of England after independence. But here, in this case, religious sensibility with a radical tinge has risen up, and it's in the process of defining to be Indian, to be Hindu.
Mm, okay, all right. So they're following a script that other countries have been following for millennia, right?
Yes, and I've said this for a long time. Maybe we need to have a program just on it. I think with the demise of communism, with the discrediting of capitalism, with the pretty much the demise of all other systems, including imperialism, nationalism is not as popular as it used to be in the classic sense. What we're seeing are groupings of people on an ethnic and or, and usually with the or, religion as a defining basis for who the group identity, you know, what defines the group identity. It's definitely a developing trend all around the world. And even in the U.S., I think in an oblique way, this new Trump administration are really part of that dynamic.
Oh, expand on that just a little bit. How in the world are you equating Trump with India?
Well, make America great again, and the unseemly alliance with the Christian evangelicals, and there's a stated aim to, by law, remoralize and re-Christianize the country.
And when those kinds of things happen, what happens to religious liberty under those circumstances?
Well, you know, religious liberty as perceived by individuals is a tricky thing. In India, the majority who are Hindu will see no problem with anything of
That's
what we've
true.
Just said.
That's true. That's true. Yes.
But from a minority point of view, it can be catastrophic. But in reality, from an overall totality of the population, it means that people are essentially being deprived of a choice that they might otherwise make. And that's not good, to take away from the human potential.
My. You know, Liberty Magazine doesn't just talk about issues. It talks about foundations of civilizations. What you bring about in this magazine and what we write about in this magazine has far-reaching ramifications, and that has got to keep you up at night, Lincoln. How in the world, when you come in the morning, how do you know what to do and what to say in that magazine?
Well, you stick to your basic principles, and we're getting to it now.
Yes.
The right of everybody to choose what to believe or not to believe before God as a sovereign human being. Of course, subject to the powers, as the Bible says, the sword wielded by the ruler.
Yeah.
There's civil power that we respect. But as far as spiritual realities and the inner mind and the aspirations to a higher thing that every human being has, that shouldn't be administered, restricted, or directed by anyone but the conscience.
And the source of that power is not found behind the pulpit or on a radio program or on television. Where do I as an individual find the source of that power for my life?
As an individual, it can be in your own conscience and thought process. Mm-hmm. But speaking as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, I can say it comes from the Spirit of God that it says it works severally with every man. Mm-hmm. We all come under the influence of God, and it's up to us how we respond. And even secular scientists, there's been a number of articles lately that say that there seems to be, in the very structure of the human brain, a God-shaped void.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because they're inclined to say, well, we're just sort of hardwired for it, doesn't prove that God exists. But when you believe in God, you can see that the mind is set up to respond to God.
And, I firmly believe that that was implanted at a moment in time when Christ turned to Adam and Eve after the fall, after they had sinned, and said, I will put enmity in your mind. I think God planted it at that time. That's my thoughts anyway. What do you think, Lincoln?
Yes. And he planted the conscience a little earlier.
Yes.
Remember,
yes,
Adam and Eve were found sheltering.
Right.
Naked under the trees, it done something wrong.
So I guess the take-home message here is, listener, we need to be convinced in our own hearts. Would I be on the right track saying that, Lincoln?
Of course. Yeah. And God says in the Old Testament of the Bible, come, let us reason together. Mm. Surely religion is something we should reason about. The anti-religionists often say it's an unreasoning, superstitious thing. That's not good. Some paganism may be that. But true religion should be reasoned, thoughtful, and individually responsive to facts and the spiritual reality of a God.
Amen. Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine. Thank you, Lincoln, for being with us today. LibertyMagazine.org, listener, is where you can find more information about this topic, other topics. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with editor Lincoln Steed, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.